Next up, Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat is hosted by Sally Mock and features Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporter Holly Michaels and University of Montana political science professor and Mansfield Center fellow Rob Saldine. Here's Sally.
Rob, the pandemic continues to be a central issue in this election, both at the state and national level, and it's becoming even more of an issue in Montana's U.S. Senate race. Incumbent Steve Dane sent out this video over social media this week.
Cindy and I are the parents of four. We have such great memories of watching our kids play sports during those years. I can't imagine not being able to watch kids play sports this fall. It's time for Governor Bullock to pull together a plan that involves teachers, coaches, officials, as well as healthcare experts so that Montana parents can watch their kids play sports this fall.
And this is obviously, Rob, an indirect blaming of Governor Bullock for parents not being able to watch their kids play sports this fall, a problem that Senator Daines thinks the governor is either responsible for and or should fix. It seems to be what he's implying.
Well, yeah, that definitely seems to be the implication, Sally. And, you know, look, when it comes to fall sports, I'm somewhat sympathetic. I mean, we've already lost Grizz sports and Cat sports. And so I think anyone who's a sports fan or an athlete or the parent of an athlete would love to see sports back in a safe manner. But a few things strike me. I mean, one, to pin this on Governor Bullock is questionable at best, I would say. Second, for most kids and families, I think sports are probably, you know, at most a secondary concern right now. The big issue for weeks, it seems to me, has been figuring out school. So sports follow somewhere after that top line concern. Another thing that I guess I just can't help but note is that Daines's criticism of Bullock here stands in real contrast to his kind of over the top fawning adulation for President Trump's handling of the virus. And that's, you know, not just taken the form of simply asserting that Trump has done a good job in that regard, but it's involved these kind of cringe-inducing expressions of gratitude to the president for how well he's done. And yet, you know, certainly there's an eager audience for that kind of messaging in some corners of Daines's base. So, you know, maybe it works politically, but it's a bit ironic, it seems to me, that the Daines here seems to be upset with how the pandemic has been handled and that it's Bullock who has failed to meet Daines's standards for excellence here.
Speaking of fawning, Senator Daines also this week, Rob, was quoted in the New York Times offering effusive praise of Donald Trump Jr. as a top-notch hunter and fisherman. The Times described the praise as, quote, sycophantic.
Well, yeah, I believe he said Don Jr. was better than the Green Berets when it came to shooting. Yeah, I mean, all of this, I mean, to me, it's just embarrassing to see someone, in particular a grown-up, demean themselves by sucking up like this. Although, you know, one thing that caught my eye this week, Tim Alberta, who's a great journalist for Politico and writes a lot about the Republican Party and the conservative movement, you know, he kind of placed some of this in a larger context and said, look, you know, you can take any of these things kind of on their own and they appear ridiculous, but within the Republican Party, there is this orbit of people who are in something of a competition about who can be the most submissive, who can be the most over the top in their adulation for the dear leader. You know, that's something that is kind of jarring, I think, to my sensibilities, and I think a lot of people's sensibilities, just because it's not something that we've seen a lot here in the United States, but it is something that is not particularly unusual within certain corners of the GOP right now.
And it's worth noting that Donald Trump Jr. is rumored to possibly want to run for president himself someday. So put that in that political context. Holly, another issue in this year's election is the Postal Service, and that popped up this week in Montana's governor's race with Democrat Mike Cooney criticizing Republican Greg Gianforte for voting against a House bill that would have provided $25 billion in additional funding for the Postal Service. Cooney made a big deal out of that vote.
Yeah, this is definitely emerging as a campaign issue. We've talked before about changes that have been a little bit reversed in Montana with the post office, removal of some collection boxes in communities around the state, though those were ordered to be put back, And the decommissioning, which is still has happened and hasn't been reversed, of some sorting machines in Montana. Like you said, Speaker Pelosi called the House back for this weekend vote that would have put that $25 billion in funding toward the post office and also stopped Postmaster Louis DeJoy from making some of these operational changes that we've talked about until after the election. Gianforte did, like you said, vote against that bill, and Cooney and Democrats in Montana have really been hammering him for it. I think this bill does sort of fall into the category a little bit of a messaging type vote, where it's really easy for one party to vote for it, in this case the Democrats, and then you get Republicans on record as being against something, and that leads you to being able to message like Cooney has over the past week. Gianforte has tried to say that the vote was a, quote, partisan dog and pony show, but it's worth pointing out there were 26 Republicans that did vote for it. Those Republicans departed from Trump and the party here. They're generally in districts that lean Democrat or are swing districts, so a little bit of a different situation than Gianforte's in, but you can't really truly call it a partisan vote, I think.
I think it remains to be seen how much of an issue the Postal Service funding will be over the next month or two. It probably depends on whether people's mail gets delivered on time and promptly, or if there are long delays, as there have been, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. This is for sure a campaign issue. It's being framed around the election and voting by mail. I think it's important to note the Helen Independent Record had a story this week with the local union rep for the post office here, who said that she was fully confident that Montana and Helena could hold the election by mail. We've seen 70% of ballots cast in the 2018 election were done by mail. So the volume in voting by mail turnout is expected to be pretty darn high this November. But it's not like voting by mail is a new thing, at least for Montana. But like you said, I think where people are starting to feel this is, prescriptions that get delivered in the mail. We've heard about those being delayed. And like when something that's always worked works a little bit differently or slower, people could get mad and are getting mad in some places. So I think there's the political issue of this, but it does last sort of beyond the election if we see changes to the post office that are slowing the mail down. And that could get people pretty riled up, I think.
Well, Rob, in the House race, both candidates, Kathleen Williams and Matt Rosendale, have new ads out this week. And in this one, Williams is standing by a lake filleting a fresh-caught fish.
In Montana, you either embrace our way of life or you get out of our way. We respect the land, respect our right to own a gun, and respect the farmers and ranchers, those who've worked the land for generations. We honor our veterans, like my dad and late husband, with far more than lip service. And we don't buy the nonsense coming out of Washington. I've spent much of my life protecting what makes Montana special. And I'm not afraid to get my hands a little dirty to get the job done. I'm Kathleen Williams, and I approve this message.
And she knows her way around a fish knife, Rob.
Yeah, this is the second ad we've seen from Williams in which she's attempting, I think pretty effectively, to introduce herself to voters and just drive home the point that she's one of us, that she embodies the Montana way of life. I do notice that she switched up her rig for this ad. She was using a fly rod in that first spot from a couple of weeks ago, I think, but she's on a spinning rod in this ad. Anyway, cleaning a fish you've just pulled from the water, that's good, wholesome Montana stuff. And driving that point home, just proximity to the voters, that she's one of us, that's really essential for Williams and for Democrats running statewide in this state in general. It's one of those things that's important for all politicians, but I think just Republicans don't have to thread the needle quite so carefully as Democrats in this state. And so this is the playbook for Democrats running statewide. They've really got to nail it, because if it just comes down to a generic Democrat running against a generic Republican, the Republican is going to win that most of the time.
Matt Rosendale's new ad shows some Montana workers fixing tires, etc., with a silent video of Nancy Pelosi running in the background. Here's that ad.
Real hard work. It's what makes America, and it's what will bring us back. But in Washington, D.C., this is what they consider hard work. It's all about staying in office. I'm Matt Rosendale, and I understand real hard work.
As auditor, Rosendale cut operating expenses 23% and refused to pay raise every time.
We need term limits on career politicians, because we have to change Washington to get America back to work. I'm Matt Rosendale, and I approve this message.
And hard work is a good theme, Rob. It plays well, I think.
Yeah, you know, what struck me about this is it opens up talking about bringing us back, which is an acknowledgement, of course, that we're in tough times. And, you know, we haven't always seen and heard a lot of that coming from the Republican Party this week during their convention. But here it is right at the front of Rosendale's ad. And it also, though, puts the question back to voters, I think. You know, who do you trust to get us back on the right track? You know, hardworking Montanans or Nancy Pelosi? Obviously, Rosendale isn't running against Pelosi, but he wants to tie Kathleen Williams to Pelosi. We're seeing Republicans everywhere across the country running this kind of campaign, including the presidential. You know, I think it makes sense, particularly for GOP-friendly states like Montana. So we see these two really distinct portrayals of this race in these two ads, right? For Williams, this is about her as a person, someone who is in touch with us. And you won't find any mention of the National Democratic Party from her. For Rosendale, on the other hand, this is about who do you want in charge back in Washington.
Polly, Secretary of State Corey Stapleton's appeal effort to keep Green Party candidates on the ballot was, as we predicted last week, rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court this week. And maybe that's the end of that particular saga.
Yeah, I think this might be the last time we talk about this for this election cycle, at least.
Please.
Like I said, Stapleton did this emergency application for a stay. It was denied by Justice Kagan the next day. So it looks like ballots printed in Montana, if they're not already being printed, probably pretty darn soon here and without the Green Party on them. Just a reminder why we've been talking about this, it feels like all fall, is the Green Party could have played a pretty important role, especially if you're looking at the U.S. Senate race in Montana. Green Party candidates can be seen as drawing votes away from Democrats. The Libertarian Party, which is already on the ballot, can be seen as drawing votes away from Republican candidates. There was a Green Party candidate in that U.S. Senate race who now won't, like we said, be on the ballot. And there's, as it turns out, not a Libertarian in that race either. So it will just be Democratic Governor Steve Bullock and Republican incumbent Steve Daines there. Same with the House race. Now that will just be Democrat Kathleen Williams, Republican Matt Rosendale. There is a Libertarian candidate in the governor's race, but at those two federal races now, we're just going to see Democrat versus Republican squaring off and should be settled for this election.
Finally, Rob, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, Don Kaltschmidt, gave the state Republicans' vote for the nomination of Donald Trump at the Republican National Convention this week, and here's part of what he said.
I come from the great state of Montana. It's often been called the Big Sky Country, the Treasure State, and the last best place. But currently, we are affectionately calling it Trump-tana. We fish, we hunt, we boat, and we have at least 5 guns in every home.
I checked, and I don't have 5 guns in my home, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. These roll call votes are often pretty hokey. I basically found it to be kind of amusing and more or less in keeping with the traditions of these kinds of things, which, you know, tend to devolve into brief little commercials extolling the virtues of the state in question. You know, the 5-gun thing was obviously a tongue-in-cheek exaggeration, I think. And the Trump-Tana bit seemed to have been made in the same spirit, and I thought it worked just fine.
Holly and Rob, thanks. A quick note for our listeners, Holly is going to be on medical leave for a few weeks, and her colleague Gwen Florio will be subbing for her starting next week, and Holly will return in October. Guys, thanks again.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat features University of Montana political science professor and Mansfield Center fellow Rob Saldine and Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporter Holly Michaels, and host Sally Mock. Join us next week for more analysis of Montana politics.
No matter where you live in Montana, it's campaign season, and we're all in the thick of it. This fall, we're going deep into our political landscape, from Montana's constitution to the current candidates running for office and why this election matters. From the newsrooms of Yellowstone Public Radio, Montana Public Radio, and Montana Free Press, this is Shared State, a podcast about what's driving Montana's 2020 elections and where the outcomes could lead us. Listen in September on our websites or wherever you get your podcasts.